Hello, good morning and welcome. My name is Graham and I'm delighted to be with you all today as we start these journeys into asking what it is to be really free. Free from constraints and conformity, free from constant testing and peer pressure, and free from unsafe and uninspiring school environments. Free to let children explore the world around them through play, cooperation and inspiration. Free to let children learn naturally, following their innate curiosity and endless creativity.
We come to see that learning isn't about doing well at school. It's about engaging with life.
I'll be here for you, and I will serve you, and I will carry your message around.
As we continue to give you the fuel to start or enhance your family's adventures into homeschooling and liberty, today's subject is one of the most exciting and nervous many of us families face as we embrace technology to further learning in the home. Well, rest assured, as today we have the gentleman heading the internet airwaves for informed and balanced insights into all things related to technology and homeschooling. Today we are speaking with John Wilkerson from the Wired Homeschool Podcast. John combines his 20 plus years of professional experience in the computer industry and 17 years of homeschooling his children alongside his wife to give parents easy to understand advice on using technology for homeschooling. And that's how I found him. With such an extensive library of past shows, The Wired Homeschool provides practical advice for homeschooling parents who use technology as part of their learning. Topics include STEM education, responsible internet use for families, and how to apply the use of digital devices and media to any homeschooling adventure. So thank you so much for joining us today, John. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, Graham.
I'm sure in 17 years, there's so many stories you can tell us and so many insights. We'd just like to start these interviews off just with getting to know you a little bit and your own school. How do you look back on that now? And do you see that you use much of the things you were taught back then in your day-to-day life now?
I was not homeschooled. I'm a product of the American public school system. What's really interesting is my father was in the Army. And so we went back and forth between the U.S. and Germany a couple times while I was a kid. And so I changed schools quite a bit, where most people tend to really go to school in the same town and with the same kids for 12 years. I did not. My group of kids that I went to school with changed quite a bit over those 12 years. And one of the things that I look back on as far as a positive was the fact that there was always something new every 3 or 4 years, because that's how often the Army moved us around. There was a new group of friends, a new group of teachers, and some people would look at that as a negative, but one of the things that I think is a positive about that is the fact that you get exposed to different teachers and different teaching methods. And I think that's one of the things that I won't necessarily say that it prompted me to homeschool, but it certainly, I look back on it, and that's one of the things that we even try to do in our homeschooling, is expose our kids to different teaching methods and different teachers. As far as the negatives, I mean, really what you would normally see from a public school system. Everyone has to proceed at the same pace, whatever's dictated by the school or the administration for the school, and you're not allowed to go ahead if you could go ahead, and you're not allowed to slow down if you need time, a little bit more time to pick up certain concepts. So that would be the only negative that I would say that I had, is that in some instances, and I'll give you a great example, it was with computer science. I had a computer math class, and I had already been using computers. This was in high school. I'd already been using computers for 10 years already.
Right.
And I had to sit in the class and go through the process of learning how to format a floppy disk, which I already knew how to do.
Right.
So it would have been nice if I could have just skipped all those basics and actually gotten to the meat of the content. that was in the class, but instead I actually ended up getting kicked out because I told the teacher that I already knew how to do that. And he said, well, since you already know how to do it, get out of my class.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure nowadays you might have even been prescribed with some sort of medication for that or something because you knew too
much.
Who
knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. That does seem one of the great advantages of homeschooling. You know, kids can get immersed in a subject for weeks if they really find the drive to do that. So starting your own family journey into homeschooling, were you inspired by anyone in particular, anyone from academia or any books you read that really sparked an interest?
Well, when I married my wife, I hadn't even heard of homeschooling. And so when we got married, her older sister had homeschooled her children. And my wife, Lisa, had read books by particularly John Holt. And that was really what had inspired her is seeing her sister do it and then reading books by John Holt about homeschooling and how broken the public school system was. And she convinced me to do it. And it wasn't that hard because she is a certified teacher here in New York and she holds a master's degree in math. So it wasn't too hard to convince me that my wife, who was actually teaching in college at the time, could teach our kids.
Right. Yeah, sure. And did you ever look at any other alternatives? We've been talking to people from the idea of the Sudbury Valley School or any of the alternative schools out there, or was it something you naturally fell into more into homeschooling?
I think we more naturally fell into it. I would actually say that since we've started homeschooling, we probably in the last 3 or 4 years, we've started looking at some alternatives, some hybrids out there. And we really take it on a case-by-case basis with each child. And we say to ourselves, okay, is this something that would benefit this particular child? And really a lot of it, what it comes down to, because we have 7 children, if you're going to do something specialized for one child, you have to consider how it's going to disrupt the rest of the family.
Sure.
With schedules and things like that. So initially we did not. We have been looking at it and we take it on a case-by-case basis every year. And so far homeschooling seems to be the best option for our family right now.
Did the Wired Homeschool, your website and your podcast, was that born as a kind of natural development alongside your family's, you know, adventures into homeschooling?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that because I actually started podcasting in 2005. So that was 12 years ago. And I had initially intended to start a podcast for homeschoolers. But what happened was that there were not a lot of homeschoolers that knew anything about podcasting, were really interested in podcasting or anything like that. And I quickly realized that and redirected my first podcast to just a general technology and fan topic type podcast. And I started noticing, and it was about 7 years ago, I was starting to integrate homeschooling into my podcast. So rather than keep it as part of that main podcast in 2010, I broke out the Wired Homeschool. And it's just something that has happened naturally. We've used technology in our homeschooling since day one. My kids have used computers and we've used other technology such as our smartphones and our tablets throughout the years. And I thought, why not share my experiences and also tie in my professional experience to it as well?
Yeah, it seems a perfect mix. And yeah, I do recommend all of our listeners to go and check that out. There's so many past episodes that cover, yeah, anything you can imagine to do with technology. And I know you do embrace the many benefits of the technology, you know, advancements coming into home now. And I was just wondering if you could say how that looks on a day-to-day basis in your homeschool. And we had a great chat with Dr. Riki about this subject, about, you know, is there any limits set on screen times and how's that set up for each individual child?
Right. For us, again, just like if we're considering any alternatives with homeschooling, we consider how each child should be using technology. And the younger they are, the less access we give them to it. But as they get older and they become more responsible and they understand how to use the technology, we give them more and more access. All of my kids right now, my youngest is 10, so they're all using the computer throughout the day, whether it's watching educational videos on YouTube, whether it's doing research online, whether it's using educational games, whatever the case may be, they all use the computer throughout the day. And then usually they have a certain amount of time that we allot to each of them for just kind of fun play time when it comes to electronics and things like that. And they get bonus time if they ask to use something that's educational. You know, we have a number of robots that are tied into a tablet, and we have the Osmo games that are out there that are really beneficial for them, that they've been using with our iPad. And so usually that gets bonus time if there's some kind of educational merit to it. But for the most part, we do, one of the things that I've always thought and said to many people is, as the parent, we have to model responsible technology use. Whether it's using the computer, our smartphones, internet use, whatever it is, we have to model that. And so if we're not being good examples to our children, then they're going to follow in our footsteps.
Such good advice there. I know you've mentioned some sort of specific apps you do use or programs you do use in your home. I just wondering if you could give us an idea of what you look for when you're assessing a new program or app to be brought into the home. Is it something you kind of guide, or is it a group decision, or what sort of qualities do you look for in any program?
Well, one of the first things that we look for is the balance, depending on the age of the child, the balance of the education and the entertainment that's in it. We have found over the years that oftentimes kids can find a way to work around the educational portion of a game or whatever in order to get to the entertaining part of it. And so we look at that and we assess that. A number of other things that we look at, which is becoming more and more important these days, are privacy concerns. So one of the things that people may not actually consider when they get a device that, let's say, talks back to them or takes their child's picture and then it's connected to the internet, what's going to happen? Where does that picture or that voice recording go? What does the company do with that? And is there a way for you to remove your data from their servers? So that's a concern as well when we look at that. And how much advertising are in the apps? I actually try and steer people away from free educational resources that are in app stores, because they're often full of advertisements or microtransactions in order to advance or get extra levels, even in educational games. And so we try and steer away from anything like that and say, let's pay for it so that we don't have to have our kids exposed to advertisements or the temptation to buy something else within the game environment.
I know you've dealt with this very subject more in depthly on your podcast over the years and some recent excellent articles I've just read. But for parents new to your work, perhaps you could give some more details on how to keep their kids safe on the internet.
Sure. A great device that people can get for their homes is something like the Circle. And it is a device that you put between all of your computers and the internet. And one of the really neat things about that is you can assign devices to your kids and limit, it'll put time limits on internet usage. And so that's a great way to limit their usage. And if they have a smartphone, if they're older and they have a smartphone, you can actually go so far and get very granular and say, my child can only have 30 minutes of access to YouTube, and it'll block the YouTube app after 30 minutes, or you can block social media apps as well. And the nice thing about it is it's for the whole house. So you don't have to set things up on each individual device. So that's a great tool, and that's Circle by Disney is usually where you'll see it. It's about a $100 device, and I've had it since the beta version came out about 3 years ago, and it's been very useful. It also does some filtering as well, so you can filter websites if you want to, if you want to keep them away from particular content online. As far as software, there's a number of products out there. There's Covenant Eyes and Accountable to You, which are more accountability type software. They don't really block things, but they allow you to monitor what's going on and then have a conversation with your children about their habits. And maybe they're not going to inappropriate websites, but maybe they're spending 2 hours on a sports website. And you can have a conversation with them and say, is it really necessary for you to be on a sports website for 2 hours a day when you could be doing something else with your time? So Accountable to You and Covenant Eyes are good options. And probably many people have probably heard of NetNanny and other resources like that. There's a number of them out there that parents can get for both their smartphones and their computers. But I usually try and recommend a whole house solution like Circle, because then you're not setting things up on each individual machine.
In these 17 years, I imagine so much changed in the homeschooling world.
Yes.
And I'm sure it's becoming easier and easier in a way with the technology coming into the home, just kids being able to pursue their passions, spend hours enthralled and just, in endless possibilities of research and anything they like. Going back to your original comments about the inability to do that in the traditional school model, perhaps parents, they're seeing that in their own children, they're looking for other alternatives, and they're tempted with the idea of homeschooling, but maybe feel overwhelmed. I just wonder if you could give any of those listeners some advice for them.
Well, the first piece of advice I would give them is that they have to understand that if they are wanting to homeschool, if they're considering homeschooling, it's more than just an educational choice. It's a lifestyle choice, because oftentimes one parent needs to quit a job. And so you're changing the amount of income that you have, possibly. So you're changing a lot of things that are offered to you. Now, if you're using some kind of hybrid system, maybe one of the parents can work part-time or something like that. But it's important to remember that it is a lifestyle choice. And I think the first thing you should do is just talk to other families who homeschool and find out the different philosophies that people adhere to. Maybe they're an unschooler and they give their kids mostly free rein to just pursue their own interests. Some people feel like they have to have a particular curriculum that their children go through so that they make sure that their children learn everything that they should know. And I'm saying that with air quotes. So in between both of those, there's a lot of different options in the middle. So take some time and talk to some parents and remember, you can take your kids out of school, at least in the United States anyways. You can take your kids out of school anytime that you want to, and you can put them back if it's not working for you. I don't think homeschooling is for everyone. I think there are families where homeschooling won't work for them. And if they can't afford a private school, then maybe they could find some kind of hybrid that would work for them as well. But it is a lifestyle choice, and it's a decision that you have to make. It's a decision that you're making for your whole family. And just be prepared and know that it is a big decision. And don't worry about, I guess the biggest thing is don't worry about messing up your kids. I think a lot of people, when they first start out, oh, I'm going to mess up my kid. They're going to get behind in education or whatever the case may be. Kids are smart. They can pick things up quickly. So don't worry about that.
That's great. Yeah, that message keeps coming through again and again. And learning is fun. Yeah, and it definitely should be.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for your time today, John. I'm sure we can go on and perhaps later come back to any topic in in particular you might be interested in. For any of our listeners that would like to get in touch with you or find out more about your online workshops or your podcast, how can they do that?
The best way is just to go over to thewiredhomeschool.com, and I have a contact page there where you can send me an email, or I'm on Twitter pretty much all day long. So you could contact me on Twitter. I'm at WiredHS.
At WiredHS. Okay, that's great. Thank you once again, John, and have a great day.
All right, thanks, Graham.
I hope you got as much out of that talk as I did. An excellent introduction to where we are now and where we could be. Please check your inbox. We'll be back in touch very shortly for much more inspiration for you to start your journey into homeschooling, child-led learning, and liberty. If you know of any families looking for alternatives to school, please give them our information, homeschoolingandliberty.com, and they are more than welcome to join us on this journey. We'll see you real soon. Cheers.
A new earth is beckoning now, calling us with its new song. Yeah, you gotta listen what it has to say. It will guide you along. Yeah, you gotta put yourself first every time, and she will catch you when you fall. Yeah, you gotta love yourself from within. Love yourself till you're full. Yeah, yeah. You gotta take the power back.
Ask yourself this question: what is so amazing and wonderful at government-run schools that you would send your children there to be taught by essentially strangers a curriculum over which you have no authority or control? How would you like to be a part of your children's learning? You were a part of your children's learning as colors, how she ties her shoes, what is a butterfly, why mommy loves her. Why would you not want to continue to be a part of that?
Look at what you've been told for so long that you have to say, well, maybe they're not right and maybe your instincts are right. Unlearn those things.
This is about human rights and endowing children with dignity and agency and autonomy. And then guess what? As a side benefit, it works.